Shalom and Calvary greetings to everyone. We just want to continue with the thought we started yesterday. And so we shall read Psalm chapter 1, verse 3 again. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, let us look at those last words. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We are speaking of this regarding a righteous man who is being typed or illustrated as a tree. Therefore, let us look at what a tree does and how it prospers in what it does. Doing something is what we call work. So the work of a tree prospers. The way it prospers in its work is being used as an encouragement for us to look at. Now, here is the thing I want us to observe. This tree, like we mentioned yesterday, it is by the rivers of water. In other words, it is in the rightful place where its maker meant for it to be. And why did he want it to be in the soil, and not just soil, but soil which is surrounded or which is sustained by water? Well, because when you have a tree and when you have water, work can be done. By work, we mean the fulfillment of the purpose of a tree. And in there we see that when a thing is in its rightful place, work happens. If you took a seed of a tree, if it is mango, and you put it on the shelf, you can decorate that shelf, you can clean it very nicely, you can perfume it. It will look like something attractive and nice, but that's not the place where a seed was meant to be. If it is in such a dry and, as we would call it, nice place, all the particles which are closely packed in that seed will be lying idle. They will still conceal and hide the potential that the Creator put in it. However, you take that seed, dig a little hole in the ground, which has water, moisture, and which has all the nutrition that are needed, which are in the soil. Bury it. Then suddenly, excitement begins. Revival begins. The particles which make up that seed begin to vibrate with a certain frequency, which previously was not there. Before you realize it, there's a little sprout coming forth from the ground. A great mystery unveils itself. Something which was previously hidden from the eyes. We see a beautiful, nice leaf begins to proceed. We see a beautiful, nice trunk begins to take shape. This was a mystery. This was a great gift which God had hidden in this seed. But notice, all this great work, all this great manifestation of purpose could never manifest when it was in the wrong environment. And the wrong environment may give an impression as though there is nothing that can come out of this thing. It can give an impression of death, lifelessness, absence of beauty, absence of all this glory that we now can see when a thing is simply put in its rightful environment. And it is interesting to notice that as this process of growth takes course, for some trees it can even take 3 years, 4 years, even 5 years for it to produce fruit. Now, we'll patiently wait, you know, for that to happen. But in these 3, 4, 5 years, You see, what we see on the outside is just a tree. When you look at its bark or the trunk, it looks like dead matter, like there's no activity. When you look at a leaf, everything looks still. Even when you pluck it right now, everything looks still and, well, like nothing happens. But, well, we are just living in different time zones. The time zone you and I live in, we are used to when action happens, an object has to be lifted, moved from one place to another. However, when you zoom in and you look at what lies beneath that hard back, you know, when you penetrate and you go inside, what we see is an intricate design of structures. Those structures are not haphazard. They are very specialized. And science reveals to us that when we go inside the fabric of this plant, there are these vessels. Some are specialized in taking water from the roots, taking this water, sucking it up, transporting it up to the leaves. Okay? And in the leaves there, as the tree breathes in carbon dioxide, it reacts with that water. And that reaction in the presence of light produces a new substance altogether. The sugars, the starch, the food that the plant needs. And once that food is manufactured in the leaves, there are another type of specialized vessels, or what you can call tubes or plumbing work, you know, which takes that food and distributes it to all the different parts of a plant so that the leaves themselves can have energy, so that the trunk itself can have the energy to grow. But more importantly, there is a work which you and I don't see. And that work happens in the roots. When you look at those roots, they are constantly searching for something. They are constantly moving and they are eating. If you look at a banana tree, for example, those roots will be searching for an element in the soil called potassium. Okay? They suck in that potassium. And when the banana tree can find that potassium, it is a very happy creature. And they'll be searching. Now, we don't see that. We don't see the movements those roots make. No matter how hard the ground is, as long as it is eating, it breaks ground, it penetrates, and it keeps finding the food. Now, here is a wonderful thing. What motivates this tree to search for potassium? What makes it do that? What makes it work in such a way? Trees are different. The things a mango tree is searching for is different from what a banana tree will be looking for. But what, for lack of a better term, what makes it look for that particular type of nutrition? And here is something. Every creature God makes has a hunger to eat something which is a substance it was made of. Whatever you can thirst for, or whatever food you can hunger for, that food is already in your body. And you desire, you hunger for it to supplement or to enable continuation of that substance which you already have to continue. Why do we thirst for water? Well, because 70% of our bodies are water. When that water begins to deplete, there is a hunger, there is a thirst that is triggered. So you take your cup, you fill it with water, you drink it. When you begin to lose strength, okay, let's say potassium is missing in your body or it is getting low, you get hungry. You pluck a banana from a tree, guess what it has? It has potassium. When you eat that banana, the potassium in your body gets, it gets replaced, so to speak. So even this tree, there is nothing it can desire which is outside it. When God created a thing, he already equipped it with Satan material. And whatever it can hunger for, it is not outside that material. Now, when the psalmist here speaks by inspiration to say, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." Well, the question is, why was it planted? Someone planted it there. Why was it planted there? It was planted there because it needs water. It needs the nutrition which is beneath the soil. Now, here is something. Before this tree could be planted there, the water was there, the soil was there. In the beginning, when we read Genesis chapter 1 and verse 11, we see God giving a command. In Genesis 1 verse 11, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so." Now, we notice God giving a command for the earth to bring forth. So, before the tree could be commanded to come forth, God did the preparatory work of the soil. He ensured whatever a tree will need is in the soil. God doesn't make a tree and then says, "Oh, let me make the soil." Now, inside that soil is all the nutrition the tree needs. Not only that, when God is designing this tree, he put the xylem vessels, the phloem vessels, all the tissues that are needed for it to be able to work. And here it is since. When this tree finally manifests its fruit, whether it has taken 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, you need to notice that it never went to any motivational seminar telling it, you need to produce fruit. No. When it produces fruit, it is simply being a tree. When God looked at the bird and said, he commanded it, "Fly, eagle." That command would not have come out if he had not made the winds, where the wings of an eagle needed to rest, to take it up. And not only that, he already equipped it with the ability to fly, because God can never command anything of a creature for which he hasn't supplied, number one, the environment, which is the air in the case of a bird, and number two, for which he hasn't given it the ability. So when God says, "Fly, eagle," he knows he has provided the wind. He knows he has given it the ability to fly. If the same command is given to a fish, "Fly, fish," it won't even have an understanding of what that is all about. And you never see an eagle which goes for training or to a pilot school to do that. Why? God supplied what is needed. An ego is able to work. Why? That's the purpose God made it to do. A tree is able to work. Why? It's in its rightful place, and when it produces fruit, that's a manifestation of that which God put in it. And now the thing is, when we come to man, we see that the pattern is disrupted. A human being today is the only creature who asks a question of, "I'm searching for my purpose." And when a thing doesn't know its purpose, abuse is inevitable. It's only a human being who thirsts and craves for heroin. It's only a human being who craves for not oxygen, which was meant to sustain the lungs, but he begins to crave for the smoke that comes from a cigarette. And notice, Whenever these things happen, work ceases. Instead of the lungs functioning properly, a terrible cough develops, which may later even result into cancer. So what has happened? A human being has moved out of his place. He has strange hungers, strange thirsts, strange lusts. He is very much occupied with how he looks outwardly and how people have to like him. And so he focuses more on how do I look? What do people think about me? But that's a very big contrast when you look at a tree. When you look at a tree, its leaves look so great. It's beautiful flowers. People want to take photos of that. But do you know that a tree takes no pleasure in any of those things? Its real work, its real activity is not in those leaves. It's hidden beneath the ground. You can't even see it. Beneath that ground which seems silent, if we had some sort of mechanisms to amplify the sound of what goes on beneath that soil, there's a constant search. The roots are digging. They're breaking ground. And sometimes you can even put concrete on the ground. When those roots are looking for what they were designed to have, you even see concrete breaking. Say, oh, what happened here? The roots of a tree. They're breaking anything which stands in their way. They go down. What are they searching for? They are searching for the food. They're searching for the nutrition. And they're going down. They're going deeper. We don't see any of that with our eyes. Because the real manifestation of purpose doesn't happen outwardly. It is something that happens within you. And let us end here. Tomorrow we shall continue. And our focus will be looking at this tree which is planted by the waters. Yes, its leaves are not withering, but that's not where the real work happens. The real work happens what lies beneath, what the roots are taking from the waters. That's where the real work is happening. And I want to leave you with a question. When you come to church, we see you, we shake each other's hands. Those are the leaves. That's the outward appearance. Some leaves don't look so good. Some look withered. Some can't produce fruit. And what happens? What happens is not what we see outwardly. The question is, what happens in your closet beneath the soil? Is the digging happening? Is the water there? When things cease to happen beneath the ground, the leaves will show. Shalom, and God bless all of us. Amen.